This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Just before we start the family interview, Derek has written an amazing book, Eyes Closed, Eyes Opened. And this is a book for the church. And we were just talking a little bit about it beforehand. And I love it when people his age, can I tell them how old you are? He's 80 years old. Can you believe that? I tell you, it's one of my goals in life to look like that at 80. I'm not going to look like that at 80. I'll just be a little bit shiny up here, Derek. I'll be blessed. I'll be very blessed. But man, if you look like that at this age, Derek and Beryl, it just means the Lord has been with him. And then you really got something to say. And this is his kind of message that he's leaving for the church. It's a challenging message. Be ready to be challenged as you read that. He's got four copies here. And he's given us a massive discount. It's only going for $150 today. So in the foyer, there are copies of this book. Please go and get yourself a copy and be blessed by this. Amen. So, we've spoken so much this weekend, and they've just shared so much. And like I said yesterday, we haven't got excited so much about them. They're amazing, but what the Holy Spirit has done through them and through their lives has just fed us. And so I'm trusting for more of that this morning. I just want to tell you, this is the beginning. The pudding is at the end when we're going to pray for people. Derek and Beryl got such an amazing story. And with us starting a healing center and them basically having run healing centers all their lives, we thought, come and speak to us. Come and share with the church family the journey that you've been on, and just bless us with the journey. Share the nuggets, share the gold, share the insights, and we're going to learn so much this morning from them. So we got a couple of questions that we've prepared to ask them, and I'm going to start with the first one. Jolene's going to carry on with the rest of those questions. So Derek and Beryl, are you ready? Yes, there we go. Yes is the right answer. Okay. So tell us just a little bit, just in a nutshell, just tell us about the early days. We heard you spent some time in Namibia and you did some amazing things up in Namibia. Maybe just in 2 minutes, just tell us how you met and some of those early stories.
Good morning, everybody. It's quite daunting to be sitting here. But before we start, I'd just like to say thank you to you two and the team here for the way that you received us and the way you make us feel really, really special. But thank you so much. And we're in that place where we want to become less. We want the Lord to become more, you know. So we're not here as promoting ourselves in any way. Please, we really want to give God the glory for all he's done. Because we've got to think back from the whence we have come, you know. And so what God has been doing, we are so grateful for that. But there's still more to come. There's still more. Yeah, Beryl was born in Namibia. And I grew up in Port Elizabeth and the age of 22. I wanted to spread my wings, and a friend of mine had moved to Windhoek. And he said, it's a great place, so I joined him in Windhoek, and I had a job that was lined up for me before I left. So, but on the fourth day I was in Windhoek, I went to a German coffee shop, and there was a lady sitting at another table reading, I heard afterwards, a love letter from the boyfriend, who happened to be in Angola at the time. You could have stayed in Angola, because that was the last that he would have seen her. and I looked at her and I said, oh man, you know, she had these big kudu eyes, you know, these kudus have got big, and she had these big brown eyes, and So yeah, I'd love to just meet with her. And but I saw that she looked once or twice, but she was into this letter. And so she walked out, and for the next about a week, I went back to this cafe. I think the cafe made a fortune out of me that week. hoping that she would come back, and she didn't do that. And
Derek, we just got a question here. This coffee shop, is this one of those coffee shops you find in the Netherlands? Or is this just a normal coffee shop?
In the
just
Netherlands.
Ignore that question. We are in a church.
Oh, no. It was a Main Street coffee shop. Oh, my goodness, I'm slow. Sorry. Anyway, about 3 months later, I'd met a lady, and I asked her, you know, I'd like to go to this dance. Those days, they used to have dances. And I'd like to go to this dance in this hotel. And, you know, I'm looking for a date. Can you organize me a date? And she said, I'll try. Next thing she phoned, she said, I've got a date. So I go and pick this one up. This is the date. And I only realized halfway through the dance. After a couple of beers, I think. Now I know where I met you, where I saw you. It was in that cafe. And yeah, she was. So 54, no, we've been married 54 years, 55 this year. And so, listen, yeah, okay, I won't. I won't get any further.
Yes, I think we just know that God put us together. It's just that knowledge. God sent him up from PE, and we got married and had two beautiful children and 5 grandchildren and 1 great-grandy. And then we had such a heart for people that we felt we wanted to establish something in, but we were totally unsaved, and we started Lifeline in Namibia. And we were so blessed that God just did such a great work there. And it is now a very big NGO there. And they're continuing with the work, but they don't have the Christian ethics that we would have loved to have had in the counseling center. And just soon after that, we moved to Pretoria, maybe.
So we moved to Pretoria, and the year that we moved to Pretoria, we got saved. And our lives just changed. It was just really amazing. We were in a Methodist church at the time. We got married in a Methodist church, and I was working in the Methodist church. I was handing out books as people come in and collected the books. So I was really working hard for the Methodist church, you know. And I was serving God really, and I wanted to go and play hockey, and so I had to. They played hockey on Sunday, so I had to resign. And I said to the Lord, I'll work for you one day again. and so when we got to Pretoria, we wanted to do the same thing. You know, we had a heart for people before we got saved. You know, it was like, how do you help people? We just sort of help people. Now you minister to people. So it's like helping people. And when we got saved, we realized that God needed to be in whatever we did. So we started a similar, this time I can call it a ministry, which is called Telefriend, and still going today, back in 1986. And so we established that, and this ministry grew throughout the country. We had about 15 or 17 centers.
Sure, that's really amazing. Thank you for sharing. I actually felt that's maybe a word for some of us. You know, we think that God only starts using us once we get saved, and the first part of our lives are kind of wasted, and it's not like that at all. You know, Joseph grew up in the palace, and that prepared him for his calling one day. No, Moses was the one, sorry, not Joseph. Moses grew up in the palace, and that's why he could go back to Pharaoh and do what he had to do. So I felt, sorry to take a little bit of a detour there, but I feel God is saying that for some of you, you think, oh, I wasted. I only got married, saved when I was 40. Derek only got saved when he was 40. But God used everything up to 40. God doesn't waste a thing. So for us, I know for us, we got quite a shock when we got the phone call, or Richard got the phone call, and I got the shock when they asked us about 5 years ago, would you consider being the pastors of Shofar Franschhoek? And I said, what? We're not pastors. We don't do those kind of things. So tell us, how did it happen? I know you guys pastored also for 12 years before you went on to LL.
Yes, actually, you know, we felt just like the two of you. We were such greenies, and we'd done the telefriend thing, and we were faithful at Hatfield Christian Church, and then God called us to be pastors, and it was actually such a scary thing because we were 26 pastoral couples in this huge church of a couple of thousand, and we just felt like we didn't know what we were meant to do or give, and everyone else seemed so capable. And it was like, God, what can we do? And God said, you love people, don't you? And we said, yes, we do. And he said, that's all I want you to do. Just go and love people. We thought, maybe we can do that. And that's where we started. But I also just want to add what you said, Jolene. This morning when I was praying, I just felt the Lord saying that there's so many of you with dreams in your hearts and visions in your hearts, but you feel, how can God use me? I mean, I've done this and this and this, or I'm not capable. I don't have all the degrees on the wall. You know what? People wanted they saw a shepherd boy, and Jesus saw a king in David. So don't forget, he looks at you and he says, that's my child that I've invested in. And all you have to do is find that treasure.
Yeah, just to carry on in that vein, you know, each one of you has got a desire of your heart. And so you have God that puts a desire in your heart, and you've got the enemy who also wants a desire in your heart, but a wrong desire. So when you know that you've got the right desire in your heart, and he put this desire to help people in our hearts, and he took that, and he grew it from that. Small beginnings, we didn't know, but it's that desire that God puts in your heart that you start working at. So we were just ordinary members of the congregation. And when we started this, we started to emerge in the congregation just by the things that we were doing. And that's how we got the call. When one day I got the pastor, one of the pastors phoned me and he said, well, no, I saw him in the street really. He said, will you please pray for me? I've got to make a big decision. And so I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And I went down and I really started praying for him. And the Sunday, I had a word for him. It was in Hebrews chapter 4. And there was two parts of the scripture. And I said, this scripture is for you, but this one here is for me. And then that I left it. And about 2-3 weeks later, I got a phone call, say, I'd like to see you. And then they extended a call to us to go into the ministry. And I thought, what, Lord, what are you doing? Then I remembered that scripture, because I had no idea it was for a call, but I just knew the scripture was for us. And God used that to the leadership, with the leadership, apparently. And so it was just amazing. God does things differently. And we were never a shepherd. We was never a cell leader. We just went straight into the pastor. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. It reminds me of Uncle Johnny and Delesti, and Tani Delesti, when they got the call to the Ukraine and they asked them, what is your ministry? And he said something like, my wife has an infectious laughter and I think we can love people. And they said, we believe we can use your ministry. And they got the call. So it's amazing, eh? God just needs willing people. Derek and Beryl, tell us about the transition then to LL and a bit of the how you got trained up. I believe you stayed in the UK for a year or two, just getting trained up for this ministry that you're now doing.
Well, actually, we went overseas and we went to Lancaster and we went to see the ministry there. And they've got these old manor houses in England. Some of you might know them. They're beautiful old manor houses in the countryside. And we were quite in awe when we arrived there. And we stayed over, but that evening we had dinner with somebody called Harold Dewberry, and he's quite a good writer of many, many books. And he had a book that he'd written, Feed My Sheep, Feed My Lambs, and he gave us one of these books. And after dinner, we went upstairs to our room, and we were just sitting there and praying and saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, because we'd met Peter Horobin and we'd spoken to him, and we just loved the vision of the healing that he was sharing and the healing centers that he had all over the world. And while we were sitting there praying, we were just saying, God, what are you doing? You're stirring. You know how you sometimes feel a stirring in your heart and you don't quite know what it's about, but we just knew God was doing something. And we were at Hatfield for 12 years by that time, and we were very excited about our congregation in the city, and everything was going well. And then the Lord said to us up in that room, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And we were reading. Derek was sitting in front of the window reading the book, and I was lying on the bed. And the next thing, while we were praying, we just heard lambs starting to bleat. And they ran to the bottom of the window where we were. And we couldn't understand what this commotion was. And as we looked out, we just saw this mass of lambs, beautiful sheep, looking up at us. And they were all going, meh, meh. And they were all looking at us. And it's like God just dropped the vision in our hearts. And he said, I need you to go back, and I need you to minister to my broken lambs and to my sheep that need shepherding. And we just knew that put paid to it, you know, and we went back to Hatfield and we resigned and we went overseas.
I'm glad you told the story, because every time I tell the story, I get so emotional, because when God uses sheep, I mean, I've heard him use a donkey, but he uses sheep. And L.L. Grange is the head office up near Lancaster. It's in the farmland. And so these sheep came to this fence, which is quite close to where we were. And when they stood there, and there were about 70 of them, and they looked up at us, and they were bleeding, as Beryl said. You know, it was just like the Holy Spirit just came down. We started to cry.
We were all on our knees.
You know it's God. And nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what people say. I was, 58 at that stage. And you don't resign from something which is in a safe place. They tell us you're crazy, you're mad, and wait another 7 years and you can do, then go and do what you want. And I took that to the Lord, and I said, Lord, are you sure this is the right timing? Should I wait till I'm 65 before I go on pension? And the Lord said to me, just like this, I can't wait for your pension. And I said to Bill, God says we can't wait for the pension. He says, okay, let's go. it still took us a year to resign, because we had a lot of opposition, but we resigned and we went and we stayed. We went to the UK and we started there on their NETS program, which is a year program. And NETS is a Luke 9:11 training school. Luke 9:11, go and read it. It's the foundational scripture of LL, where Jesus welcomed the people. He taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. And that is the mandate which LL has. And we went on this course. Now, I was saved when I was 40. I've been a pastor for 12 years, and I knew that there were issues, and I've had these things prayed for over and over and over again. But I thought, okay, now this is a spiritual warfare thing. But when I got to LL and we're sitting under these teachings, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, yeah, because I knew there were issues. And the Lord then said to me, I want you to go back to South Africa and I want you to establish LO in Africa. And but he said, I cannot use you as you are. And I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me before I came? And he said, because you wouldn't have come. And I said, Lord, you can do anything. I'll deal with anything. But just don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And the Lord did a deep work, especially in me. Bill as well, but no, she's a good girl. So. But you know, when we allow God to deal with the stuff, because he cannot use us when there are issues, when there are things in the closet, unexposed. Because if we don't expose them here on earth, it's going to be exposed in heaven when we come to judgment seat, and rather do it here. I would rather do it here now and keep short accounts, and we deal with it here and before we go. And God says, now, but what about this and what about that? You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure what he will say, but I'm not sure if we'll just make heaven just by with just keeping secrets, because he knows everything. He just wants us to, when we confess something, it's just like coming into line with God, what God already knows. He knows it, so we're just agreeing with him. I messed up. And deal with you. And God just, oh man, God's such a good God. If it wasn't for that, we would not have been able to establish, I just know it.
You know, it's amazing. It's not one of the questions, but I just realized as Derek was sharing, we don't often talk about the costs when we're up here. We don't talk about them giving up their pension. Did I understand correctly? No. Them coming, going to LL and being humble enough to say, I'm 58 years old. Okay, God, I need healing. I need deliverance. I need to be transformed. We like the reward, but to talk about the cost, we don't always like that, because that's difficult. That's sacrifice. That's sacrificing my will, my finances. That's what Derek shared about. That's the amazing thing is, once the reward is there, the cost seems insignificant. You almost don't want to talk about the cost because the reward is so amazing. But thank you for sharing the cost with us, because I think sometimes for us as younger generation, we look and we see the dreams and we see the vision and we want to get there, but along the way we need to realize that there is a cost, and God paid the highest price, but that he sometimes asks us to pay a price as well. And tell us, do you want to?
I want to respond to that, because I feel there was a huge cost, and I think a lot of people didn't understand. They thought we were being maybe reckless in serving God like that at that age, because that's when you care for your pension and the way forward. But we came back to South Africa, and when we started establishing in Pretoria, we actually didn't have a salary at all. And God just said, I want you to walk in faith. I will care for you. It was a new thing for us, because we were well cared for at the church. And before that, Derek was a businessman. We were well cared for. And it was difficult for me to get it around my head, because I can work if you give me a little bit. I can vukker with that. But if you give me nothing, then what do I do? How do I do it, you know? We still have to pay for our home. We still have to... And within a year, our home was paid off. We were gifted a car. We didn't even pray about the car. And things like that. And everything. It's not like God gave us greeds. He gave us needs. He fulfilled all the needs that we needed. And I said to the Lord, just one thing, please. I want to be able to give and bless people, because that will make it'll make me very unhappy if I'm just going to have to cope with every little cent. And he was so gracious. And now Derek says nobody can actually afford us.
Oh, that's that encourages me just so much. Thank you for sharing the cost with us. But like I said, I think why we don't talk about the cost that often is once you've tasted the reward, the cost seems insignificant. But I do realize when you're weighing it up and you're still in the valley of decision, the cost can seem very high.
Can I just add to it? Because I think it's important. While we were pastors, God blessed us. In spite of, God blessed us. I mean, we were really, really blessed. But we didn't realize what we were missing out on still. Because the blessings, after we've dealt with all the issues, became 100 times more than where we were. So don't be deceived by the blessing that you have now. Because what is ahead after we deal with this stuff, and it's just so much more.
Sorry. I just want to say, Jolene, if I think of when you guys shared, when we had breakfast with you and you shared your vision for the center, you didn't know how you were going to do it. You didn't have the finance. You didn't have the whole vision together. You just had this passion to touch people and to bring healing. And look how faithful God has been just since the time we had breakfast and the time that we're here. So you're already seeing, trusting God and with the cost. And yes, there are issues with the roof and all the stuff. But you know what? He's teaching you something in that. Maybe character, maybe long suffering in al sulke goed. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, God is faithful, he does it. But in the process, he also teaches us and builds our character.
Yeah, that's true. Would you mind sharing a couple of testimonies of the kind of healings? It can be physical. Physical is always exciting, but also emotional. Whatever healings that you've witnessed over the years. I know our faith always gets stirred by testimonies, just hearing what God has done. And I was just reminded this morning of Revelation 19:10 that says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So what God has done in somebody else's life, the testimonies they're going to share with us, that's like a prophecy going out saying God wants to do it again in our life this morning. God is not a respecter of persons. I often say God het nie wit broodjies nie. He loves us all the same. So if God can heal, if they share a testimony and you feel a stirring and you think, goodness, that is an area that I'm actually trusting for breakthrough, then I want to almost prophesy that today is your day. Because God doesn't just do it in LL over there in that time 20 years ago. He's still the healer today and he wants to do it this morning. So if you don't mind, can you share?
I wanted to share one thing, but then God said to me, I must share this, something that really touched my heart, and there was no one else around. There were no ministry team or anything. And somebody came and she brought her mom for ministry for the day. She was an advocate and she didn't believe. She was an agnostic. And she went and sat at one of our ponds and she just sat there. She didn't do anything. She didn't read or nothing. And the Holy Spirit just fell on her. And she was on her knees and she actually received Jesus as Lord and Savior at that pond. And while her mom was being ministered to, and her mom had been praying for her for years, and the faithfulness of God in something like that, he just reminded me, I haven't thought of that for years. But that was such a biggie for me. God just did such a miracle. But something that he did that was quite an interesting thing, we were in Port Elizabeth, we were ministering there, and I was sitting next to Derek, and the pastor and his wife were sitting there, and the Lord said to me, he wants to put fat on somebody's bones. Now, that's the funniest word you've ever heard in your life. And I know there is a scripture to back it up, but I just haven't got the scripture now to share with you. But I thought, you know, I'm really missing it. I said to Derek, listen, I've got a word, but you don't have to share it if you don't want to. He says, tell me what the word is. So I tell him. So I said, just somehow weave it into your preach. You know, I don't want to go up there and preach it or say it. Just sort of somehow, if you think it's relevant, otherwise just leave it. I said, I know it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so he goes up and the pastor goes up and he calls me up there to share this crazy word. So I go up and I say, there's somebody here with no fat on their bones and God wants to put fat on. I mean, really. You know, I mean, we ladies, we're trying to get the fat off our bones. not on our bones. So anyway, so I shared the thing and I felt such a fool. And I went to sit in the, oh, and he said, is there anybody like that? Nobody responded. I was totally, you know, I knew that was, I almost felt, yeah, no, this is, I'm missing it. Anyway, I just sat there and I was all embarrassed and Derek did the preach and they did everything. And after that, yeah, this guy comes up, running up to us, very walking very funny. And he sits in the front and he says, I'm the guy with no fat on his bones. So I looked at Derek, I said, I think you need to pray. You need to pray for this guy. You tell the rest.
So I'm trying to, as I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think what the name is of the singer. Just think what I'm talking about. Anyway, he tells the story that he had a motorcycle accident, and all the muscle on his lower calf had been ripped off, and so his leg was built up shoes was about this. It was a huge amount. And so he said, you know, so I said, why do you think God's going to heal you from what? Is you think God's going to make your leg grow again? Or he said, I don't know, but that word, he said, I don't have fat yet, so that word must be for me. And he tells us the story that when he was a youngster, he said, I can share the story, so I'm not, that's not confidential. When he was a youngster, him and a friend of his used to curse a singer that sang from a wheelchair, Gene Rockwell. Do you remember Gene Rockwell? He used to sing this, it'll only be for the older people, older South African people. And he used to sing the song, Heart, You're Driving Me Crazy. I don't know if you know. Anyway, but he was a Christian. This guy in the wheelchair, and they used to curse him, and he's convinced that because of the cursing he did, that curse had come back onto him, because there was no place to land on Gene. And so we got him to confess, and we confessed it, but he repented and he asked the Lord forgiveness and all that, and then we prayed for him, and his leg grew that much, to exactly the same as the other leg, and we were rejoicing and praising God, and because he had a built up shoe, he used to walk like this. You know, if he was bare feet, he would walk like this, and he got home after church and he was walking bare feet, and he says, his wife says to him, why are you walking your toes still? He says, oh, I forgot, you know. So for so many years, he'd been walking like that. The next morning, we were at the mall, and we saw him, and he had a bag full of shoes. So he said, what are you doing with the shoes? No, he's taken to the shoemaker to have the heels taken off all his shoes, and because he doesn't need such a big heel anymore. And then, he said that night he phoned the family in New Zealand and told them he's got something to say to everybody. So the whole family got around and the in-laws got around, and he told them the story of what happened to him, and that his leg is healed, although he didn't have any meat, but he could walk totally normally. And the whole family got saved over Zoom. And anyway, it was just amazing. You know what? God uses the foolish things.
And I just want to encourage you, when God speaks to you, don't always think he's going to speak to someone else. You know, he might give you a word, and just come check it out with Jolene or Richard and say, you know, I've got this word. Derek's always my bounce back person. I go to him and I give him the word, and then God works from there. He either says to me, I think wait with that word, or don't give it now. But it's always good to submit that word, because sometimes it sounds crazy to us, but God wants, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And somebody might be missing out on a big healing if we're not obedient.
Sure, that is amazing. And I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. We could keep you for two hours or 2 days with you telling all the stories. I just told Jolene the other day, the amount of, I think, trauma you two people have absorbed over the years, just listening to people's, you know, heartache and things, you know, it's amazing that the Lord has just preserved you so beautifully, and He's protected you, that you've been able to be that, in that sense, that those people that just listen to and just respond in love. And that is amazing. Maybe with that in mind, maybe just the final question before we go into a time of ministry. What would you say to a church that is where we are, on a church drive to start a healing center? We haven't actually officially started, but we're training up, we're getting the premises ready. Yeah. What would be some words of encouragement or advice to the church?
Beryl's excited.
I get so excited about it, but I just think for us, we really put in a very strong prayer base, because we just knew that the enemy wouldn't like what we're doing. And he would try anything to stop it from happening. And he does in the beginning. It's not easy, and you have to push through, and you have to just bite the bullet. Sometimes it's really tough, but God is faithful. But just go one step at a time. But I would just say the prayer base is vital for this. And it mustn't just be a once-off. It must be a constant, strong prayer base. And especially Jolene and Richard, cover them, because they're pivotal. They're running ahead. They are the spearhead in this, and it's very important to come alongside and with much prayer and encouragement.
Yeah, I'd like to also add, to do a ministry like this, you need a good covering, and I think Shofar is a very good covering that you already have. Our church wasn't interested in what we were going to be doing, so we didn't have a covering. So we had to find some people that would, or a church that would cover us. But I think the main thing is that to have a team around you, you need to invest in yourself. You know, it's not saying, okay, yeah, we've got a center, now we're going to minister. It took us a year of equipping people before we actually started, we did start on a small scale, but we didn't advertise it or we didn't market it. But just people from our teams said, "Would you minister here, there, and everywhere?" So we ministered to people. But training and equipping the saints, you see, every person every Christian needs to be equipped in something. And it's not always just like a ministry team that needs to be equipped. We need to equip hospitality team. Now, you live in a hospitality village, so you'll know a lot about hospitality. But hospitality may be a little bit different here than in the restaurant. But the same principles would apply. But even for the hospitality team to be trained up, even if they don't do personal ministry, need to be trained up so they can understand that when you're talking, when somebody comes and they're so full of pain that while they're even getting their tea, they just boil, you know, we need to know how to handle that and just calm them down until we get the right time. So everybody, the marketing team, the sound team, the registration, the admin team all need to understand who we are in this ministry, and we need to understand why this ministry is so vital. If all the churches were going to do what you are going to be doing, LL wouldn't need to exist. But because the churches are not doing the work of Jesus, really, this is going to be a vital ministry. And this is why we're excited. We want to be involved with this vital ministry, because Yaza Church is prepared to start doing the work that Jesus did and pay the cost. there's really, you know, and I love the church. I'm not talking about, I'm not going against anything, but there's very few churches that are actually setting captives free and equipping people. You know, there are very few, very, very few. And so what God wants to do in the church is so, so vital. And I think God gets excited. That's why Beryl's excited, because, and we're excited because this is God's work that you are working towards. It's, the church is just not preaching. It's also bringing healing to people. And sometimes people come here and they, and you, we have an altar call, we pray for the people, but sometimes people are not healed. And the reason they're not healed is because we haven't sat down with them and helped them to deal with the issues of life, which is a blockage to the healing. And so it's the blockages to the healing that we need to learn how to deal with so that we can, that we can get them past that point to be healed.
We also love the vision of the worship, because I've always felt there's so much healing in worship. I've actually seen some times where one person went felt to play the violin, and this person was incredibly broken after a very bad car accident, and the person was actually totally physically healed just after that person played the violin. So I think in the time of worship, God also does an immense amount of healing, not just physical healing, but spiritual and emotional healing. He touches with his Father heart if you open enough to receive him during worship. So for me, it's actually pivotal, the worship, the prayer, and the ministry and the equipping. But then also the creativity, to bring creativity in, because God's made us to be creative. Through creativity, we see an immense amount of healing. So we'll offer that to you as well if you're interested sometime.
Yeah, I think what is encouraging, you would have heard Derek share that there are different almost pieces to this puzzle. And we as a church are starting the healing center. Richard and I have kind of hammered on this, just saying that there is really, and we want to encourage you guys to go and pray about it. God, how do you want me to be involved? You know, not everybody's counselors and not everybody's worship leader. I'm clearly not a worship leader this side. But what I just realized again this weekend with them sharing the practicalities is there's really a space for everybody whose heart is stirred to get involved. And we want to use your gifting, what makes you unique. And we don't do the way somebody else has done it, or we're not going to replicate LL. We're going to learn what we can. But you know what? God has got, he put us together as a team. And he said, you guys go and do it. So he knew this is the mix of gifts and anointings and favor on our lives. So that is what we're going to work with. But I want to encourage you to go pray about what is your piece in the puzzle. What are you contributing?
Sorry, can I just add? At LL Ministries, we call ourselves wounded healers, because we've all been wounded and we're on this road of being healed. We are not fully healed. We are not totally healed, and I don't think we'll ever get to a place of being totally healed. But God has wants us to be in this place that our heart is to come closer and closer to him. And we can only do that with a healed heart and this journey of working out your salvation with fear and trembling, that as we on this journey, we get healed bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. And so don't look at a complete thing, because it's a work in progress for us all. Okay. We all are work in progress. We are a work in progress.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. They did great. Wow. Yeah, there was so much in there, and I'm sure the guys are recording at the back. So we're going to respond. Let's stand together. If Romano's here, if you'll just join us on keys here. And I want to encourage you that right through the service, right over this whole weekend, the Lord has been working. He's always ahead. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is advancing. He has an agenda. He's had a plan. And he had an encounter in mind for you, each one this morning. There was something for everyone, I'm convinced of it. And so I don't just want us to walk out of here and to say, wow, what an amazing story. It is an amazing story. But right now there's an opportunity to respond. And you would know, the Holy Spirit would have come and pushed the button on your heart and said, when Derek said that, or when Beryl said that, or Jolene said that. And I want us, I just want us to use this moment and to respond in this moment. We can kind of have tea and coffee and cookies just now. But if the Lord spoke to you at a certain point this morning, I felt that we need to pray for a whole lot of people this morning. And so so let's just close our eyes and let's just ask the Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit, we just honor you. You're the one, Lord, that comes and gently knocks on our hearts and says, that needs to change, or that needs to stop, or you need to make right to that person. Or, Lord, each one of us have walked in with different scenarios, different challenges. But Lord, my guess is that nearly all of us need a measure of healing. And Jesus, we can go no better place than to you. You are the healer. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. And you are here. And so we want to come to you this morning so that you can heal us emotionally, spiritually, physically. There's so many needs in this place right now. And so just there where you're standing, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Let's say together, Holy Spirit, where do I need healing? And let's just wait on Him just for 30 seconds. Just allow Him to speak to you. Just sense the Lord is flashing faces in front of some of us, just family members, friends, relatives, where there's broken relationship and perhaps harsh words and unforgiveness that's still in place. The Lord's done a massive work around forgiveness this weekend, but I realize we weren't all here. And so if you're standing there and you realize there's broken relationship somewhere, maybe your marriage, your family, with a sibling, with a colleague at work, somebody where you know it's not right, and you know there's unforgiveness being harbored in your heart, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, that's me. We want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody that needs to forgive someone this morning? Anybody like that? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody? Yes, thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Unforgiveness, the Lord showing you people that you need to forgive, or you've done something wrong and you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Thank you for those hands. I want you to be really brave. Come to the front. Come to the front. We're going to pray for you. All those people that raised their hands, they're going to be facilitators. Let's give them a hand as they come to the front. All those people, we're going to pray for you. And then I felt when Derek shared that story about him being 58 years old and the Lord said, there's skeletons in your cupboard and I want to deal with that. I really felt that's a word for us. And I feel there's unconfessed sin in our midst. And listen, sin is a problem, but Jesus wipes away all sin. And he cleans you and he makes you white as snow. And the devil will intimidate you and he'll say, Jesus can't forgive that. It's too bad. And so he holds you down and he strangles you and you don't respond because you think what you've done, the blood of Jesus can't cover. And Jesus saves to the uttermost. And so I just feel that word. we're all guilty and we all got some kind of skeleton in our cupboard. And I feel the Lord is saying, come. He wants to set you free and change your life and just empower you. And so if that's you, just come to the front. We're going to pray with you. If there's anything that you just want somebody to pray for you, come to the front.
And then the last thing before we're going to pray with the people, I felt that there's people who are trusting for physical healing. When Derek and Beryl shared the amazing testimony about the leg growing out, they feel that there's some people that are actually struggling with their legs. And some of them are actually struggling with your back, but it's a leg problem, or maybe it's a hip problem. But actually any physical need, if you have some physical healing that you're trusting for, won't you just slip up your hand? Just slip up your hand. Wonderful. Please come forward. We're going to trust God to heal because he's the healer. We cannot do it, but he's the healer and he's here. So maybe you guys can step a little bit forward here in front to make space for the rest. So we're going to have some facilitators. Please don't rush off. We're going to get to everybody. We're going to get to everybody and we're going to start praying from side.
Just the final thing that Beryl's feeling. If anybody's had a dream to serve God in whatever capacity and you've never been brave enough to make that step, we just feel there's an anointing for people to step into their destinies and their callings in terms of ministry. Just come to the front as well. And I just want to ask the small group leaders and the elders, people that were on training this weekend, we're going to minister to these folks. So do come to the front. The rest of you are welcome to stay here and just hang around, just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Otherwise, you can go and fellowship at the back and enjoy that. But we're going to dismiss the service now. We're worshiping at 6 o'clock. So join us for tonight. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.